That doesn't count.
Correction, you need a technical brush.
Right.
We can edit the video later.
Sure. Let's start very lighthearted then. Maybe a show of hands. Who here has heard of mutation testing? Amazing. I can go very quickly to some slides then. So who has never heard of mutation testing? For who is a completely new concept? So I will cover it for you guys.
That's nice. Of course, I'm here on behalf of like to promote
Stryker a little bit. So who of you is actually using Stryker already? Nobody. One person. Well, it's my colleague. He's also working on it. Cool. So you guys are definitely going to learn some stuff today then. So I can just start, right? Sure. So welcome, everybody, to the talk, How Mutation Testing Got Practical. And I'm really focusing on the got practical in this talk. So I will be explaining mutation testing a bit. But I'm really looking deep into the internals and why is the idea really old? And is the practical use case relatively new? So we'll get into that. But first, a little introduction. My name is Jan-Jelle Kester. I'm a software engineering consultant at InfoSupport. It's a consultancy organization in the Netherlands. I'm also a trainer there, and I'm a research supervisor. And that last one is actually relevant today. You'll hear why soon. If you want to contact me afterwards, the easiest way is LinkedIn, I guess. But you can also find me on GitHub. And as I said, I'm here on behalf of Stryker. And Stryker is a mutation testing framework for JavaScript and TypeScript, C#, Scala, and hopefully at some point Kotlin. There's like a partial implementation there already. We're working hard on it. You can find us at strykermutator.io. And of course, have all these nice socks for you guys. So if you're really good with asking questions and reacting to my questions, you might get some. And otherwise, just see us after. We'll have some more. So in this talk, in this next 25 minutes, because I am going to try to leave room for questions as well, I first want to talk about why do we actually need to understand our tests? Why is just writing a test not good enough? I also want to go into what mutation testing is for the people that don't know yet. And finally, and that's the major part, hopefully if I don't run out of time, I'm going to go deep in how we got to practical applicability, how we got into this state now where we can actually run mutation testing in our real projects. And that means talking about some state of art performance improvements. But first, we have to talk about the false sense of security. Because this is a promotional image I copied shamelessly from the SonarQube website. And they show this nice dashboard where they say, well, everything is good. There's no issues, no bugs, it's all fine. And there's even 76% test coverage. Who would be happy with that? Okay, who wants to say why? Why is 76% good, according to you?
Lots are green.
Large or small socks?
I don't wear socks.
You get some anyway. Oh, sorry about that. They're hard to throw in this room. No, I would say I would not be happy with that. Because, I mean, our tests, apparently, when we're running our tests, we reach 76% of our code. I don't think that's enough. Because there is more than 20% of our code that is not even getting executed while running the test. That's a problem. But even 100% code coverage is actually, it doesn't say much. Because coverage only means that code is being executed. We are only testing, in a worst case scenario, that the program does not crash. What you actually want to know is if our tests do something. And I can very easily get 100% code coverage on a program without writing any assertions. And I'm just checking that the test execution does not crash. So we need a way of testing our tests. And no, we're not going to write unit tests to test our test logic, because that would be stupid. I mean, it would never end. We need to be smart about that, and that's where mutation testing comes in. So what we're going to do is to introduce changes in production code automatically. That's a tool that's doing that. And then running the test again to see whether the tests start failing. Because when the tests start failing, at that point, you know that your tests are actually able to catch that bug that we purposefully introduced. So it's also a form of white box testing, because we really have to know stuff about the internals of the code to change it, and to see whether it, whether the tests are good enough to catch that. And this is really not a new idea, because there's this nice paper from 79 already, where they talk about a new way of, a new type of software test. And you can actually find this on Google, and you can read it if you want. But even back then, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, they were already talking about that. But only recently, and I talk recently in a very broad sense here, because I wasn't even in high school, I think, when I'm talking about recent, it got more traction, because the problem is, in the 70s or late 70s, it was just a good idea. We did not have the resources to actually apply it in practice. And what you see here, the dark colored bars are publications, research publications about practical applicability, and they really spike.